We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer
from the Chicago Tribune again.
Bears beat report and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
This story by Dan Wiederer, it's obviously very well reported.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score and 2400 Sports.
I listened to you guys talk to Dan Wiederer, and he's spot on pretty much for everything. You know, and I agree with everything he said.
We want it to be a fast Friday and a fast, focused Friday.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer Time.
Weedsy.
With Danny and Speeds.
Wiederer Time.
Bears.
The Take the North Pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
Parkinson Spiegel on the Score! Joining us now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, from the Chicago Tribune and 670 The Score, a dear and trusted friend and confidant, Dan Wiederer, with us on the show. Weedsy, what's going on?
Who was the guy that said that I was spot on everything? I got to get him on the payroll.
That's Chris Chelios. That's Blackhawks and Red Wings. Legend Chris Chelios loves your work.
Awesome. Apparently. Awesome. That's great to know.
So, Weedsy, did you run into any troubles around the Tribune offices for our little fun executed by Shane Reardon right there?
No comment.
All right. Okay. Did you have me blocked too already?
That's fair. He's the best. We all listen every morning. Every single morning.
All right, Weedsy. We're going to play a game of decode what Dan Wiederer means on Twitter.
Okay.
With 15 plus weeks left in the season, I'm beginning to wonder if a lot of Bears fans truly read the waiver and terms and conditions they had to sign before entering the 2022 season. I think I know what you mean. What did you mean?
Yeah, look, like we've been telling folks for 6+ months now that this is going to be a rocky road. It's going to be very bumpy. There's going to be a lot of turbulence on this flight. And so there's really been a high level this week of anxiety and unease off of one 17-point loss to the Packers on the road in a game where you're the inferior opponent. And I understand there's some nuance within that game that leaves people a little unsettled, but be ready for this to be your 2022 season and be ready for this to be a shaky roller coaster. I think I retweeted or replied to a tweet and said to one of the people that responded to that tweet, when you check into the Red Roof Inn, don't be upset at night when there's not a Godiva chocolate and a swan towel on the foot of your bed, right? Like, this is the experience for 2022.
Well, that's why I make my own swan towels. So wherever I go, I can provide that for myself. Well, that's interesting. And look, I think that makes sense, but let me ask you the corollary then in terms of the offense, because when Fields looks so bad as a passer, as a pocket passer, there's two schools of thought. Tom Thayer said maybe you simplify it down a little bit until he's real good at just a few things and then expand. Trent Dilfer said get him a whole bunch of layups, throw more passes. So do we see an increase in plays, like the volume of plays that he's expected to know, an increase in plays or a decrease in plays, or does it stay around the same? You know what I mean? It feels like you got a lane to pick.
No, I think it stays around the same. And I think Dilfer is right in that you have to kind of manufacture some confidence building completions early in a game to increase the comfort, right? And to create a rhythm, which obviously was completely absent after that first drive in Green Bay. And when you go 3 and out three and out, come back after halftime and go three and out again. Now all of a sudden things start to spiral in terms of the rhythm and the zone that you're in. I think this quarterback this year needs to be challenged, right? He needs to be tested. You need to kind of increase the experience he gets so that he can improve his pocket presence, so he can see things, so he can feel the pocket a little bit more. We're two games in. It's been predictably uneven. And I think Sunday is a really fun test because it's against a defense that's good enough to challenge you, but it's also a familiar defense with a similar variation to what you faced all through the spring, summer, and training camp. And so you should have some level of vision and comfort going into this game.
They do have more of a strength, it seems, though, in the secondary than their run defense. Would you agree?
Yes. And when you watch the Texans play, they made life difficult early in the first two games for Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson. And this is what made me take as long as I did to get over the hump to pick the Bears to win this game. I ultimately filed my prediction as Bears 23, Texans 21, but it took 4 days for me to get there because I don't think this is a gimme. I don't think this is a slam dunk win for the Bears, and they're going to have to be sharp, and they're going to have to be a lot better with the attention to detail on Sunday than they were in Green Bay. When you go back through that Green Bay loss, I was more disturbed by the Green Bay loss on Thursday than I was on Monday, because you go through all of what you learn, and there were just a lot of opportunities there that they screwed up, right? That they screwed up for themselves, and that you cannot afford to do that when you're a team that's in the bottom tier of this league.
All right, so for instance, what made you more worried on Thursday than Monday?
Okay, so the play that bothers me probably the most, that in the moment it just kind of you moved past it and you got going, was the third and two after they got the takeaway and were trying to get back in the game and get a rally, right? And so now you're finally in a position, you're in field goal range, you've got third and short for one of the only times all night, and you've got a miscommunication between the quarterback and the center that causes a snap that's a little bit too early from Sam Mustipher to Justin Fields, and now Justin can't perform the reads that he wants to perform with whatever it is on a zone read there, and he runs to his left and he gets tackled for a 3-yard loss, and you settle for a field goal, right? If you are a team on the rise, you convert third and two, you continue on that drive, you punch the ball in the end zone, now it's 24-14 and you're in a ball game again, right? And so that was a self-inflicted wound at a pivotal moment in the game where you say, man, that can't happen, right? Like the quarterback and the center have to be on the same page when they break the huddle. You have to be on the same page in terms of, okay, I've got an indicator here in a loud road stadium that tells the center when I want the ball snapped, and I can't make any abrupt movements that causes them to snap the ball. And so that was one example of about six or seven going through there where you go, man, there's just too many loose bolts, right, that need to be tightened up for this offense to be taken seriously.
Hey, Dan, I'm glad you brought up the center. They're not going to rotate centers, are they? Like, what's going on here with Lucas Patrick snapping? Once he can snap, are they going to rotate guards? Like, how is this all going to play out with Tevin and Sam?
No, I think as soon as Lucas is strong enough and has enough functional ability in that right hand, he will be the center. My forecast would be that comes in New York in week four, and Lucas Patrick is your starting center in week four. So I would expect the guard rotation with Tevin and Lucas to continue this weekend. And then when Lucas comes back into center, I would expect Tevin to remain in that right guard position. We'll see if the coaching staff has anything different to say about that. But that's my guess, is that next week is when we get out of rotation mode and we get to a quintet that is stable.
What's your overall impression of the young offensive linemen? I mentioned Tevin, but someone sent me a grade from ESPN for Braxton Jones today that was very, very high through 2 weeks that I thought was interesting. But I don't know. What's your sense of those two specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's inconsistent, right? I think there's moments where you say, okay, there's some tenacity here. There's certainly some toughness that you like to see in young players that are going to have some rough moments and bounce back and produce some good moments. I think overall you're searching for consistency. And I think those guys and Larry Borum are two guys that are going to ride the roller coaster. I mean, when you've got, 15 rookies and I think 8 or 9 second year players, you're going to be in this mode at all times, right? Good moments, bad moments, good moments, rough moments. And so you just got to be ready to ride that experience out, because that's what this team needs to do to ultimately develop and improve for things beyond 2022.
We're talking to Dan Wiederer, Take the North podcast with him and David Haugh. You hear him throughout the station all week long. He is our Bears insider. So you got there on picking the Bears.
Yeah.
But it was a struggle. What made you ultimately pick the Bears?
Being at home, feeling like this team has a certain level of toughness and resolve that will help them persevere down the stretch of a tense game. I mean, I fully expect this to be a down to the last 2 minutes game on Sunday, and it's going to test the Bears to see how sharp they can be in one of those moments. I think Chicago should be excited for them to take that test. I think for the rest of the league, this game isn't even on the radar, right? Like, Bears, Texans, people are like, yeah, good luck. Like, give me 15 other games that I'm going to watch over the course of the week that are more entertaining than this. And let's see where we go. But for the Bears, you know, is it crazy to call it a measuring stick game? I don't think so, because I think when you look at the power rankings that people have put out from, you know, June on, it's the Bears, the Texans, the Falcons, the Jets, now maybe the Panthers in that bottom five. And so you want to see, right? Like, are we better than these teams, right? Are we better than these stinker teams, or are we, you know, deservedly so in that class? And so Sunday will give us a glimpse at that.
Why couldn't the Bears and the Texans be like a Thursday game? We could have it on an island and do what we need to do, all of us, and we could laugh at Amazon for their misfortune, and then we could watch Bills Dolphins at noon on Sunday, or just stay glued to Red Zone. Seriously, these are two of the worst four teams in the NFL, talent-wise?
Certainly five, right? I mean, certainly two of the worst five. And what island do you want to send us to? Because I need to know where I could book that flight on the Tribune Buck. Send me somewhere good if I'm going to have to go watch Bears Texans on the road.
One of the Virgin Islands.
Perfect.
We'll send you one of the U.S. ones, maybe the British. We'll decide. By the way, Dan, we're charting Tuck and Runs.
We invented
the acronym. We appreciate it. The TARs for Justin Fields. Actually, we're not. Are you charting Tuck and Runs? What do you got?
For those on Twitch, I made a page in the back page of my notebook that I cover for games. It's the TAR tracker, the Justin Fields TAR tracker. So we're taking this very seriously. We talked last week. He had 4 for 28 in week one, and I gave him an A-minus grade for that. Somebody's got to write this down because we're going to need a GPA by the end of the year. Week two at Green Bay, there were three, and they were all notable. 11 yards total in TAR yardage. But I gave him a C-minus because the first one was the touchdown. You can never downgrade a guy for scoring a touchdown. That's a good play when you tuck and run and you score a touchdown. But then there was the tuck and run and then decide to throw again when I'm 2 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Uh-oh.
That docks you on the grading system. And then the last one was the third and goal one before the notorious fourth and goal play, where I thought that Justin was maybe borderline with ball security there and lunging for the pylon. And we talked about this earlier in the week, where you're inches away from fumbling that ball off the pylon or fumbling that ball and giving the ball away at the 2 yard line, where ball security there. And Matt Eberflus kind of backed this up, that there is a coaching point that Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy and Andrew Janoco will go through on when the risk reward is there to make that dive for the pylon, and when you got to be careful to make sure that you're not in a position to give the ball away in a situation where you can't give it away. I see.
Wait,
you got a question.
But third and goal, down two scores on the road in the second half of the game, isn't a risky time to go? Isn't worth it? Feels like it's worth it there. I mean, you almost got sacked on that play. No.
Well, eluding the sack is a positive thing, right? But then when you get out on the move, you just got any time you're a ball carrier and you're diving for the pylon, you have to be 100% certain that you're not going to lose the football. I mean, that's just a rule in the NFL. And I understand where you're at, but you would much rather have fourth and goal at the one, which they failed on, but fourth and goal on the one than give the team the ball at the 20 or at the three, right? Like, and so these are things that for a developing quarterback.
That's a harsh grade.
He is. Dan Wiederer is the toughest tuck and run grader.
I promise you the coaches brought that up inside the building this week.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Man, this team struggles to score.
Agreed.
And a quarterback knowing that once the ball hits the pylon, it's dead. Right. So
as long as it's in your possession. Right. Like, yeah, Benny Cunningham will tell you if you accidentally drop the ball off the pylon an inch from, and then your coach challenges the play thinking you scored, and then the other team somehow gets a touchback out of your own coach's challenge, it's a disaster. And so you're always inches away from that.
Well, we're all giggling here about the tuck and run, but it's a salient stat, which, you know, which is why you invented it, is that so if he stays there, doesn't tuck and run, and takes a bad sack, like sometimes, so how are you deciding what is a worthwhile tuck and run? It shouldn't just be based on the results of the play. Sometimes it's the right thing to do in terms of process because guys aren't open and the rush is closing in.
No, you're right. And we have to have a whole different grading scale for just overall pocket presence and the plays where you don't tuck and run, right? And the ones where, right, and where you learn to play in there. And look, the one, again, the play where he ran through the pocket and then got in the open field to throw 2 yards past the line. And Justin's development, like 2 months from now, he better be climbing up through the pocket and stopping again.
Yes.
Right? And seeing, oh, man, Equanimee St. Brown is wide open. You see that 3 yards earlier than you did, and it's a gain of 30, and the drive continues, and now all of a sudden you're not in this rut where you go an entire quarter where you don't get a first down and the other team hits you with a 21-0 blitz. And so these are the types of things that you know, Justin has to learn through experience, but then not make the same mistakes twice. And that's why I think, like, you know, we better hope that when we're meeting in Friday, the first Friday of November, that we're not having these same kind of discussions, or everyone here in the city is going to have a migraine headache.
All right, I got 3 over-unders for you for this game.
Okay.
All set at 5.5. Okay?
Okay.
Over-under 5.5 pass attempts for Justin Fields that travel over 20 yards in the air.
Under.
What if I put it at 15 yards in the air?
You get me closer. You'll get me closer to saying over there. 20 is deeper. Against this defense, they're going to play a lot of shell. They're going to have a lot of dare you to beat them underneath kind of stuff here for Justin. And there's going to be opportunities where you got to see, okay, this is our shot play. Let's take it. And let's make sure we take the shot. You know, there were a few on Sunday in Green Bay where the shots were there and they didn't take them. And,
right.
And that's just not going to work. But, yeah, I don't know that this particular matchup caters to them going 20 yards or more downfield a lot. I'd still probably take the under on 15. And so this is going to be another patience tester, I think. But hopefully the volume of passing overall is higher. So give me another one.
Okay. Over under 5.5 targets for Darnell Mooney.
I'm going to go over on this one. I think that when Matt Eberflus comes in on Monday and on 2, 3, maybe 4 occasions says, highlight your skill as the priority for the Bears coaching staff, which means, hey, we've got playmakers. We've got guys that we highlighted all through the spring and summer as guys we believe in. Those guys are Darnell Mooney, they're Cole Kmet, they're Justin Fields as a deep ball thrower. The coaches' meetings this week certainly involved some discussion on, okay, how do we make sure that we're unlocking the guys that we spent 3-4 months deciding were our best players on offense. And so I think this is going to be the game where Darnell starts to get a heavier volume. I'll tell you this, that Darnell is very aware that he didn't have his best game in Green Bay. There were some things detail-wise that he screwed up on, including the 4-yard loss on his only catch, where he just wasn't fast enough. He went in motion in front of Justin, then looped around him and went in motion behind him, and admittedly just didn't run fast enough. And so the pass was caught about 4 yards closer to the middle of the field, maybe two yards closer to the middle field than they wanted. And so when Cole Kmet isn't perfectly sound on his block, you've got no chance. And if he's 2 yards further to the numbers, all of a sudden you've got a play with the ball in one of your faster players' hands, and you've got a chance to make a play. So Darnell's got to be sharper on his details as well. Justin even detailed the route imprecision that Darnell had on the one deep ball they threw late in the game that didn't connect. And those are things that you got to get ironed out. And so, but I will take the over that he's going to get 6 or 7, maybe 8 targets on Sunday.
5.5 targets for Cole Kmet.
Under. We'll say 3 there. We're taking baby steps with Cole. We'll say 2 catches on 3 targets on Sunday, and that's a huge step in the right direction.
He had 60 catches last year.
I know. I know, man. And look, some of this is about making sure that you get more than 41 plays, right? And I think that's part of what flummoxed the city of Chicago this week was, you know, we're looking at a stat sheet and we're saying there's 11 passes. Well, there was also, you know, 3 tuck and runs, which we detailed, 3 sacks, 2 busted plays, which one of them is the miscommunication on the snap, another is a fumbled snap. And so, that you know, they're 19 passes called in 41 plays. They got to get more than 41 plays, right? Like you can't go through a second quarter where you have 4 possessions and 10 plays, right? Like that just doesn't work in the modern NFL. And so the more plays you get, the more opportunities there's going to be for everybody. But part of that is creating first downs that then give you more plays.
Back to decoding Dan Wiederer on Twitter for a moment. You teased the Take the North pod with this. The need to know about Justin Fields by January 9th crowd is going to be disappointed. Is that because the Bears are not going to prioritize knowing about him by January 9th, or that we just won't know because you need a bigger body of work?
Yeah, the latter. Yeah, let's have this discussion here because I think this is good to kind of wrap our brains around collectively, because I understand the impulse, right, and the desire to want to know on January 10th that this guy's your quarterback of the future. But there's two roads here, right? Like, in order to know that he's not the guy, he's going to have to be really, really bad for the next 3.5 months, right? And that's a worst case scenario for the Bears organization if Justin goes through the next, you know, 4 months and is just a bad quarterback. It's going to be a disaster here. In order to know he is the guy, he's going to have this consistency of excellence that is just unrealistic at this stage of his development, with the support that he has around him from his supporting cast, with the reality that he's in, you know, Sunday will be his third start in a new system with a new coaching staff, with a new group around him. And so I just see no way that he suddenly hits this, you know, on ramp that takes you to the express lane to excellence on a consistent basis. And so I think everyone's got to condition themselves to be ready for the fact that we're going to get into mid-January and it's going to be a gray area. You're going to have half the people saying, yeah, there's still something here. And you're going to have half the people saying, no, it's time to move on. And it's going to be a shouting match like you guys have been experiencing this week and last week, and we'll probably experience for the next, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 weeks.
Yeah.
Years,
my entire life. What I said before the season was you just want to be in a spot to believe that when they use a top 10 pick on a tackle and a receiver or a receiver, and they use a bunch of free agency money on receiver, that'll be enough to catapult him to the next level.
Ideally. Right. And I think, like, we saw what happened in Philly, you know, we saw what's happening in Miami, and we see the way a young quarterback can really benefit when you get a proven stud receiver to come play with you, and how quickly that suddenly makes your stats look better, which then makes you feel better, which then helps your preparation, which then gives you a go-to guy in big moments, right? Like, Tua didn't play a perfect game on Sunday by any stretch of the imagination, but when you got Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill just turning everything into a home run, you say, all right, cool. Like, I feel comfortable, right? I feel confident. And now all of a sudden it looks like I've got more command just because there's guys around me that can make little things into big things. And it's a wonderful luxury to have.
Dan Wiederer from the Tribune and 670 The Score and the Take the North podcast. Enjoy the game. We will talk next Friday, Weedsy.
Yeah, enjoy Sunday. I don't think it's going to be the most entertaining game you guys have ever watched, but I do think it's got a lot of intrigue for people like us that are trying to figure out what this team is made of.
Thanks, Dan.
See you guys.
It's Dan Wiederer from the Tribune. He's an expert who has sources and watches film. Coming up next, we pick games against 10-year-olds and toddlers and struggle to beat them. It's Parkins versus Spiegel on The Score.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's time for Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel.
It's something, it's a newer type of situation. And
I'm confused. All right. I've been hearing it, like, I feel like just this year.
All right, I'm going to tell you.
The segment where Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel pick NFL games against not only each other, but their own family.
Bears.
Why the Bears?
Because Bears.
Can you say, hey, Spiegs, I'm going to beat you again.
Pete.
Just fathers and sons bonding over gambling on football.
Where's my money, Dad?
I left it in there.
What? How could you do that, Dad? It was my money.
That's bad money. I don't want you to have that money.
Parkins versus Spiegel on the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score.
Picking games is hard for sports radio hosts and 2.5-year-olds. And 10-year-olds, we all went 1-2 last week against the spread. Me and Owen are both 2-4 on the season. You and Ruben are both 3-3 on the season.
Uh-huh.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'll go first. All right, first game.
Yep.
I think the Ravens' loss last week was fluky. There were blown coverages. The Patriots do not have the offensive talent that Miami has. Obviously, basically nobody does. I think Lamar looks great from the pocket. Laying less than a field goal with a really well-coached team in the Ravens, I think they will correct those blown coverages and win and cover that small number in New England. I know it's scary going against Belichick, and my man Nick Costos in the promo likes the Patriots to win outright. I am laying it with Baltimore, -2.5. Owen Parkins, what's your first pick, my man?
All right, Owen, you ready for football picks?
Yeah.
Can you say, 2-1, here I come?
2-1, here I come.
This week, 3-0.
This week, 3-0.
Okay, let's pick some games.
I'm done.
No, 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 you're not done yet. hey, Lions or Vikings?
Lions or Vikings? Mufasa!
Mufasa? So you like the Lions?
Yeah.
What does Hakuna Matata mean?
I mean, no worry. For what's out of your days?
All right, so Lions +5.5 against the Vikings.
You know how terrible it feels to root against a kid that cute? You don't know. It's tough. It's tough out here.
Yeah.
But I hope he goes down in a heap of tears. Ravens -2.5 in New England. I'm with you on this one, Danny.
Oh, no.
I know, buddy, but the way to beat the Ravens is, don't worry, I'm trying this year. The way to beat the Ravens is to pass the ball with authority down the field or throw short to explosive, fast wideouts and let them blow by the secondary. The Pats have Mac Jones and a bunch of potential number two wideouts. Baltimore won't be as explosive as they were against Miami, but they also won't give up half of what they did last week. So, yes, you and I lockstep on the Ravens laying 2.5. Fruit of my loins, Ruben, what you got?
All right, Ruben, ready to make some football picks?
Yep.
How are we doing in the standings?
You and me are tied for first place.
Nice.
And Danny and Owen, they're tied for second, or should I say last?
Dead last.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. All right, ready? Here we go. Saints -3 over the Panthers. What do you like of these two teams?
Even though the Saints have better offense with 346 yards gained per game, they're 17th in the league, and the Panthers have 268 yards per game, which is 27th in the league. But defense-wise, the Saints have the same defense as offense, and they're still 17th in defense. But the Panthers have 9th in the league of yards allowed in defense, which means that I'm pretty sure the Panthers might not let the Saints score a single touchdown.
Wow. All right, so you're taking Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
Teddy, I told you could edit it. I'll try and tighten them up for next week.
Dude,
you
know, let the kid improv. You're force feeding him all these numbers.
He asked for him. He asked for him, Shane.
It's no longer the feel that Ruben won with last year.
You think he's getting too analytical? Interesting.
Yeah. Go with your heart, Rube.
Go with your gut. All right. Well, we
how many points there? I missed it in that 4-minute explanation.
No, it's my fault for not editing. Sorry, I couldn't have the heart to edit a 10-year-old.
Oh, God.
Panthers what?
Minus something.
Okay, I'll just put that in the sheet. Panthers minus something, and we'll just decide on Monday.
No, Panthers +2.5.
There it is. Thank you, Danny.
Panthers +2.5.
All right, we're Gucci.
You sure that was the line when you did the picks?
I'm sure it was not.
Maybe.
I'm sure it was not. We will lock him in.
Who the hell is?
Whatever it is right now. All right, well, we clearly need to go fast because these kids are upstaging us with time. I think the Titans are bad this year. This has been profitable for me so far. Raiders played the Chargers, were competitive, and then they lost a fluky game to the Cardinals. I don't think the Titans have the pass rush to disrupt Derek Carr. I'll lay 1.5 with Vegas in Tennessee. Owen Parkins, your second pick.
Bills or Dolphins?
A dolphin.
You like Dolphins? What do you like about Dolphins?
Blowout.
You say it's going to be a blowout?
Yeah.
I don't know if I... Maybe we'll do a different one. But all right, so you like the Dolphins +5 against Buffalo?
No.
Hey, come back here.
He's gone.
he's gone. It's hard to wrangle a 2.5-year-old, man.
So are we settling on Dolphins plus 5.5 then?
Yeah, Dolphins plus 5.5.
He said no.
He's locked in.
He flat out said no. But I'm thinking, when he said blowout, I was thinking about the water coming out of the
top
of the
Dolphin. That is 100% what he meant. And I was thinking, like, oh, he thinks it's going to be a blowout. So now the kid's fading Josh Allen. That's a tough spot to be in. But I don't really love the Bills' secondary in this game, so.
Doesn't matter.
So, yeah, he's on the Dolphins at the point.
This is the point. Kid likes a Dolphin. Done deal.
Yeah, all right, talking about a blowhole.
I got the 49ers giving 1.5 at Denver because I don't think Nathaniel Hackett's good at his job. They have 25 penalties through 2 weeks. So I'm with the general, John McClain, in thinking that Nathaniel Hackett is trash and the 49ers will cover. Ruben, your second pick.
The Eagles minus 6.5 points against the Commanders.
Okay. So on the first hand for offense, the Eagles have the literal best offense in the league with 470 yards per game. And the Commanders have six best offense, which is 393 yards per game. However, defense-wise, Eagles are 14th in the league with 325 yards per game, and the Commanders are 27th in the league with 464 yards per game, like allowed. So I'm pretty sure the Eagles are going to win.
Eagles' best offense against the 27th defense.
Yes.
Gotcha. So you like the Eagles?
Yeah.
He asked me for yards for and yards against, so I gave it to him. I gave him too much.
Credit to a 10-year-old for using the word however properly in a sentence. That was I really did well like done. That.
Yeah, however was well placed there. I have more, Dad.
But again, how many points, Ruben?
He doesn't know about the spread.
Eagles minus 5.5.
Okay.
Six and a half.
Number is 6.5. All right, I'm just going to go quick. Rams minus 3.5 in Arizona. I'm going with all small favorites in this spot. I think the Rams are really good, and people just saw them got blown out against the Bills in week one, and Arizona I don't think is very good. So Rams minus 3.5. Who does Owen like?
Texans or Bears?
Bears.
Can you say, duh, Bears?
Duh, Bears.
Do that again. Say, da Bears.
Da Bears.
One more time. Say, da Bears.
Da Bears.
Say it louder.
Da Bears.
Got
I'm just
one.
I'm just going for drops.
Yeah, I think you got. I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You got one. I think you got one there.
Yeah. All right. So you like the Bears. God. Minus 2.5. Go ahead, Speaks.
So do I. I like the Bears minus 2.5. Luke Getsy is adjusting. Layups will be coming. Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, both with touchdowns. And David Montgomery is the best Bear on the field. Angry tackling as well. I like the Bears minus 2.5. Ruben, your third pick.
The Bears at home minus 3 against the Houston Texans.
I'm going to say, well, the Texans are 28th in offense, but with 31st in defense. And the Bears have the worst offense and 22nd defense.
So not good teams.
Uh-huh. Sadly, I think I might have to go with the Texans.
Really?
Yeah, because even though the Bears are dealing with the second worst defense in the league,
yeah,
the Texans still might have a pretty good hold on the Bears.
Wow. This is scary. Ruben's not taking the Bears.
I know. It starts getting serious when that happens.
Yeah, it does. He's like the only one. He's the only one in Chicago picking the Texans. Good for Ruben. He's zigging when everyone else is zagging. I'm kind of now rooting for that. That's good. Good for Ruben. He's willing to be a contrarian in the face of public pressure.
I think so.
Parkins versus Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel. Spieg sees some positivity that needs to be highlighted. We'll do that as we put a bow on this thing ahead of Cubs baseball. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
Afternoons on the score.
Here's the 0-2.
Swing and a miss, strike three.
And the sweets are about as good as that last pitch. Outstanding.
Immaculate inning on this pitch. And he got him. How about that? Hayden Wisniewski.
Book Shandy with the call, immaculate inning last night. Spiegs thinks it's real.
Yeah, Hayden Wisniewski, man. I know I was raving about him after the first time we saw him in relief for a starter-length stint. But now the body of work is bigger and the numbers are out there for everyone. But if you're watching his stuff, the movement on it, Danny, is so serious. And that slider is serious. And Eno Saris from The Athletic has this thing that he developed called Stuff Plus. And Stuff Plus just kind of looks at everything for raw stuff. He loves Hayden Wisniewski. Loves the combination of pitches that he's seeing in a very different way from some other prospects that we've seen along the way. So that's like the analytical part, if you want to look at the data of like how the pitches are moving and how it might be able to be consistently something difficult to hit. But did you by chance, actually, I know you didn't. There was a moment last night.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Go on.
Just, most people didn't. There's a lot to do last night.
Yeah. I was watching football.
I know.
And living my life.
And there's also Aaron Judge, and there's everything. The broadcast had.
Like I said, I was watching football.
Hayden Wisniewski, like, before anybody was out there taking BP or anything in Pittsburgh at PNC, he'd never been there. So he just went out there and stood on the mound with like some tarp on the mound, not your mound, that's at Wrigley, but stood on the mound and stood where he was going to pitch, turned around and did his little walk around that you do after a successful strikeout, walked off towards the dugout and just kind of looked around at all the sights and sounds, just kind of existed in the space with some headphones on, I assume listening to music or whatever.
Visualization.
Yeah, man.
I assume that is what he was doing with those headphones.
I would think so.
Listening to music or whatever.
It could have been a guided meditation is what I was thinking. Like, I don't know. Okay. Because, like, jokes Dylan Cease is a big meditator, you know, with Jake Berger and others, and a lot of modern players, no matter how young, are getting into the mindfulness and the visualization. So whatever his practice is, he's on it. Like, he's – and that's a AAA guy. He's been AAA for a while. That dude is ready. So seeing that last night, the hard factors of the stuff and the soft factors of, like, having the maturity to know what he needs to get ready and then having it pay off that night in his first start in a new place was pretty cool.
Good for him. That's excellent. Before I respond to the question here, okay, well, first of all, 312-540-0670. Dave Matthews tickets. You want to go see him in November at the United Center, November 15th, be the sixth caller. 312-540-0670. How many people that made a start for this year's Cubs team do you think are in the opening day rotation for next year's Cubs team?
Boy, it's a great question. I think Stroman, Smiley, Hendricks,
Steele.
Yeah, Steele. Smiley is you know, that's a mutual option. I just have a feeling they're going to do that. I'll say four.
Okay. Four. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're going to have depth. They're going to have, like, real opportunities for starter depth. Like, Keegan Thompson is not at all in that conversation for me. He'll be a long guy or some other specific relief role, I think. They're gonna get somebody, whether it's Rodon or the Japanese ace that they believe in. And we'll see what Hendricks' health is, you know what I mean? So I think they're going to think of Hendricks as a five or six just in terms of who they can count on at the beginning of the year.
Thank you to Dan Wiederer, who was on the show today. Thank you to Adam Amin, who was on the show today. Thank you to John McClain, the general from down in Houston, who was on the show as well. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell. He runs the Twitch chat and the video stream. Thank you, sir. Thank you to everyone who donated to the Brain Up page for the walk tomorrow, the 5K at Maggie Daly Park. Team Respect the Journey. Over $30,000 raised. If you would like to still support brain cancer research in Chicagoland at the Malnati Brain Tumor Institute in honor of my brother Brad, who's battling glioblastoma, we'd very much appreciate it. The link is in my Twitter bio, or you could go to brainup.ngo and search for the Respect the Journey team page. So thank you to everyone who did that. Shane Reardon, our executive producer, thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week, you know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.